Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, it's Cam. Before we jump in, I just wanted to issue a couple of corrections because in this silly, fun, crazy, weird podcasting world, I'm saying all sorts of stuff and I get stuff wrong probably constantly. But two things I know I've gotten wrong were discussing the article that quote unquote outed Diana and Taylor. That article, I'm pretty sure, was not written by any kind of real publication. It was photoshopped. I'm really dumb, and I always read the master posts as though, I don't know, it just looked real to me. And the way they said the article was quote-unquote sort of like taken down, I always sort of was like, oh, well, the publication issued a retraction, and that's why you can't see it under any publication. So, guys, bear with me. I'm stupid as fuck, but you guys already knew that. It does seem like that article circulating on Twitter and people sort of sharing it as though it was real still triggered the SwiftGround to have problems. But you have April 23rd, that actress tweeting about Diana and Taylor being hotter than Brangelina. And that seems to have gotten a lot of traction too. So I don't know. The article was fake and I know that now. And sorry for acting like it wasn't. Also, So It Goes being played live. It was played live a good bit more than one time. I'm not sure how many times. It wasn't played live constantly. And the first time it was played live, I do believe, was the 22nd. So that's still interesting. Somebody got with me and said people kind of complained and wanted to hear it. So she started trading it out with Dancing with Our Hands Tied. So I don't know. But yeah, got that wrong too. But if I get things wrong and you guys let me know, I will always try and make it right. So thanks to everybody who helped out letting me know about those things. And now I guess we'll jump into the episode. Enjoy, guys. Welcome back to Clownery in Wonderland, everyone. This is Cam and I'm here with your favorite guest, Sean, here to talk more about, I don't know. I mean, are we just going to start shedding the light on all of Hollywood's dark, dirty secrets?
That's fine with me.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more industry stuff. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to get into, but I'm just going to go ahead and trigger warn everything. We might touch on sexual assault. We might touch on eating disorders. Certainly we'll touch on homophobia, sexism, everything bad, because there's a lot of that in the industry, I think. Bad stuff. There's good stuff too, but we're not here to talk about that. So I don't know what we're going to get into, but I'm going to trigger warn it all. And as y'all know, if you've listened to episode 3 or 6, Sean used to date a famous female singer. Sean found my blog, which of course is focused on the alleged relationship between Taylor Swift and Diana Agron. So of course she was kind of intrigued by that. Some of it sort of rang true for her, or, you know, hit home. Would you say that's fair to say, Sean?
Yeah. At least some of the rumors that circulate around that.
So she reached out to me just to say, hey, you're not crazy. This stuff really does go on. We got to talking. She agreed to come on the podcast. 3 episodes later, and here we are. Also, just so everyone knows, I do change Sean's voice to protect her identity. So if it sounds kind of low to you, that's why. Couple questions that came through the blog. Did Sean get along with her ex's family? And what did they think about the entire thing? Like how the industry works, etc.?
I mean, they're not too, they're like me. They're not too thrilled with the industry as a whole, but it's kind of a double-edged sword because while they're not thrilled with how things work behind the scenes, yeah, up front, it gave their daughter an amazing career. So it's kind of hard to slight something that makes somebody that successful. But at the same time, you don't like all the pain it caused on the back end. So it's kind of weird like that.
Did you get along with them? Did you get to spend much time with their family at all?
Oh yeah. So I spent some holidays with them.
You spent holidays with them. So, I mean, it's pretty like normal relationship stuff, like meet the girl's family, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like we would have vacations and we would spend like time with them because you're on tour a lot. When she's on tour, you don't see anybody for nothing. So, you know, you would have breaks and you'd go see your family, things like that. And I'd tag along with her. And, you know, you introduce the girlfriend to the parents. It, normal stuff like that. When it came to the parent part, it was actually fairly normal.
Cool. Another question is, For Sean, did her and her ex get together when she was already famous or before? How does that even happen that you start to date a celebrity? And even more importantly, how does it get more serious with so many people against it to begin with?
Pure dumb luck. That's how it happens. And she was already famous when we met.
I know the story about meeting. I don't want to tell me if this is okay to say, but you kind of met in a public space.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't recognize her.
Right.
And right. So you were actually able to kind of have a nice, normal conversation with her for a minute.
Right. And it just sort of obviously blew up from there. But it was literally just a combination of luck, and I'm an extremely oblivious person who recognizes nothing ever. If you're waiting for me to notice something, you'll be waiting years. Tell me.
And then, I guess, how did it kind of, we don't have to get into your relationship details if you don't want to, but how did it get more serious with the stakes so high and with her management team not exactly loving it?
Because her management team didn't exactly hate it either. They just wanted to make sure I understood that it was never to be public, but they also don't want their talent unhappy all the time, because unhappy talent is talent that is difficult to work with. When they're happy, just think about any person. When they're happy, they're an easy person to get along with. They're an easy person to work with. And when somebody's miserable, that's just not the case. So the whole thing was about keeping her happy. And as long as I did that, remembered my spot or my place, and didn't try and go public with all of this, obviously, then they were okay with it.
So, it sounds to me management teams, it's not necessarily personal for them, like the homophobia.
No. Right.
They don't, a lot of them probably don't even give a shit. It's the public perception that they're worried about. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, that's extremely fair to say. A lot of them aren't homophobic in the way that you think of homophobia, sort of being. It's just they're indifferent to it. It's just the public perception, as you said. Some of them are even gay themselves, so they get it. They understand. And those are actually the best people to work with, because they'll try and run some interference with you, with the people above them, to try and give you some more wiggle room. But they still have to play by those rules that everybody else has to play around or play by. So they don't get as much wiggle. So while they might try and run interference for you, it only goes so far. They're still playing the same game. It's just they understand your pain and what you're going through.
That's actually really interesting that you mentioned some of them are gay too. Obviously, some of them are gay too.
Right.
Taylor and Diana shared the same agent. Not to make it about SwiftCon, but it is a SwiftCon podcast. Thor Bradwell, he was their agent when we think they were together, and he's gay too. So, kind of interesting little tidbit there. And yeah, it does sound like they want the talent to be happy. Their lives would be easier if they were straight, because that's what the public perception
right.
is. That's what they want for a public perception. But it's not like they want her to be alone and miserable. It's just more of...
No, that's just a consequence.
Right. You can do what makes you happy if it fits within a certain public narrative, or you hide it.
Right. Exactly. It's like homophobia turns out to be the consequence of what they have to do, not the actual cause for them personally. The industry itself is homophobic, while they may not be, but they still have to operate within that homophobic industry.
Right. And that's the problem with all the sort of...
Systemic problems.
So we have systemic racism, systemic sexism, systemic homophobia. Once you start working within that system, even if you're not racist or homophobic or sexist or any of those bad things, or transphobic or whatever, you're still going to end up navigating in a way that's harmful to people if you're working within the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's essentially what happens.
Right. So it's a systemic problem. It's not like there's a bunch of individual homophobes running things.
Right. Well, there are at the top, but not usually middle management, or there's some of them can be. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem when it comes to homophobia specifically is, if you're a woman, you kind of can't hide that. It's easy to see. You can't hide your race. That's easy to see. But you can hide sexuality.
Right.
And anything that others you from what they consider to be the norm, which is white, male, and straight, insists to, but that's mm-hmm. a completely different ballgame. But whatever others you from those things is a mark or a strike against you. So while you can't hide some of them, you can hide like homophobia. And if the person isn't transitioned or is not out, then they can hide the person being trans. You can hide those. And so there's no public mark against them.
So really, it's almost like it's almost like, maybe this is simplifying, but they're almost keeping score. So you want to be white, you want to be male, you want to be straight, you want to be cis, you want to be every sort of normative idea. And the second you're not white, the second you're not male, then you'd better not be gay. You'd better not be trans. You'd better not be bi. You'd better not be any of those. And even if you are, those identity things that take some extra effort to express, that can be hidden, and they're going to want to hide that. I mean, that it just sounds like a game almost. Like, it sounds like they're playing a game, like a score. They're keeping score on you.
It is, but it's people's lives that they're playing with.
And that's why it's so damaging and fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Cue for Sean. She mentioned how there was never a coming out plan for her ex. Does she think she'll ever change her mind, or does she expect to see her with a husband and kids one day? And you don't have to answer. That's kind of a very sad question, but.
Yeah. I mean, I hope she's able to, because then she might have a chance at being happy, but I wouldn't put it past her having a husband and kids one day.
That's
just, it's just from everything that I've seen.
Right. Right. Well, thanks for sharing that. Now I got a question about, we might jump into a little discussion about NDAs here. So the question that prompts this is, what if Diana was forced to sign an NDA? Could she have been forced to stay silent by Taylor's team? Maybe this is why she can't talk about things, even if she wanted to, and why she reverts to signaling in code. I mean, she has been a very supportive queer ally with a huge LGBT following, and her work has been very queer too. So maybe that's her way of expressing something she's unable to do personally. I don't know how detailed these contracts are. Maybe Sean knows. So first of all, obviously we don't know about Diana and Taylor for sure, but in general, NDAs, when people are in closeted relationships as celebs, do they have to sign NDAs?
Yes.
Even if they're both celebrities?
Yeah, because usually, if it's going to be a long-term relationship, there's actually contracts involved with that about which each side is expected to get out of it. So, like, if one person's more popular than the other, then...
Even if they're actually dating in real life?
Yes, because remember, they're still trying to control the narrative. So whatever you do behind the scenes is one thing. Whatever you do in public is something completely different.
Okay, so even if, I mean, in this example...
It won't necessarily be an NDA if they're dating in real life, but their private life and their public life can be two very different things. And there's contracts for that.
So do you think there was... I mean, there's always, like, been an idea that... There are two, okay, so I hate to jump into like fandom nonsense while we're talking about very real issues, but since this is a Gaylor podcast, bear with me if that's okay.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there are sometimes the ships between Swiftgron and Kaylor don't always get along. So, I mean, there are some people that think Taylor is still with Carly Kloss. I don't. And there are like three people who think that she's still with Diana. I don't, although I feel for those people. Of course, they were broke up probably 7 years ago, and they just seem to be friendly now. Sometimes the two warring camps will say that the other relationship was more of a PR relationship. So I think I have heard it posited that Carly was actually cover for her relationship with Diana, which is insane, and I do not believe. And then there's also sometimes Kaylors say that Swiftgron wasn't as like romantic or deep as we say it is because Diana was an actress, so they had more of a PR thing going on. I tend to think, I mean, I wish everybody got along in the Gaylor fandom. We're already like part of a sort of, maybe, I don't know if this is the right word, but we're sort of a minority within Swifties. So we shouldn't be warring with each other if you ask me, but it is what it is. If these people are entering into a public relationship, so you had Carly on stage at the 1989 tour all the time. You know, they did the best friends video thing with Vogue magazine.
Just jump in here and say that gay relationships will never be PR relationships. Not right now.
Okay.
So if if you're talking about two women, as like one of them was just PR, that's not going to be a thing. Now, you might hang out with somebody as a friendship to kind of boost your sort of clout, so to speak, or your own reputation, but you will not be put in a PR relationship with someone who's the same gender as you. That's just not going to happen.
I think this person's sort of asking, you kind of started to get into like non-disclosures and different and contracts in general, and it sounded like you were kind of talking about more of a PR bent.
It's both, though. So if you're both famous and you're both actually dating in real life, you might not have to sign NDAs because there's nothing to not disclose, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there would probably be something set up to where if your private life isn't on brand for you or the person you're with, then your public personas have to be. So who you are may not be the same thing as your public appearance, you know, behind okay. closed doors, and who you are as a couple might not be the same thing as what you put out to the rest of the world. And if one's just slightly more famous than the other, there's going to usually be contracts about that, about how one is going to boost the reputation. So obviously never let a good relationship go by the wayside. Their teams are going to be all over that.
Okay. So it's not that they're, I mean, I do not think either of these two kind of famous alleged relationships for Taylor, between her and Carly or between her and Diana, were PR. But I am kind of curious if they were privately dating potentially, then what kind of paperwork would they have had to do? So would they have been planning, you know, when, I mean, Diana's on Glee, so maybe she gets spotted with Taylor because that brings her, you know, Taylor was more famous than both of these women. Would there be, would the team's management camps jump on the opportunity to make a PR situation out of their gal pals, their BFFs, right? I'm not saying they wanted them to date for PR. Of course, that would never happen. But would their management teams kind of be like, well, go get spotted together because so-and-so has a movie coming out or so-and-so has a new fashion show coming up and we kind of want that to be in the buzz?
They might, but you wouldn't really see them alone. They'd have okay. to be like in a group.
Okay.
So, because I mean, anytime you see two celebrities alone, you can people go crazy with starting to ship them. And if you're trying to control gay rumors, that's the last thing you need.
So I think what we're saying is there's really no PR explanation for these situations.
No.
But what about NDAs? Sorry, well, we've kind of said it, but I just kind of want to. Do you think that when two celebs that are closeted date each other, do you think they have to sign NDAs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you still want to make sure that nobody says anything. And it's nice to have that legally down.
Sure. And you had to sign an NDA, correct?
Yes, I did.
Right. And we talked about some of the details of that. So some parts of it expire, but not all of it. You don't have to go into details if you think it would kind of be too.
Yeah. Well, just in general, when you're dealing with NDAs in general, they can cover anything and everything you could possibly think of. Anything you don't want other people talking about, there's an NDA for that. The one caveat is you can't have an NDA for something that's illegal. So you can't hide illegal activity with an NDA. You can try, but it won't hold up in court.
Okay. So someone could break an NDA to say, hey, this person is killed somebody or stealing from someone or whatever.
Yes. Right. So let's say you witness a murder and they try and, you know, get you with an NDA. That's not going to work. You can sign the thing, but it's not going to hold up anywhere. You can still go and tell somebody about that.
Cool.
In fact, just recently, this was in the news with Mary Trump was being sued by Donald Trump and I believe some other family members to stop her from talking about stuff, especially that was in the book, to try and block the book that she just put out. And mm-hmm. to stop her from going on interviews because they said that she had an NDA. Her lawyers successfully argued that the NDA she signed was about what was essentially tax fraud. And because it was hiding illegal activity, she could talk about it and the NDA was null and void and the court sided with her. So that's a pretty good example about how NDAs work right there and how they cannot cover illegal activity no matter what it is. But other than that, they can cover anything and everything.
I think in summation, Taylor and Diana may have had to sign NDAs for each other. There was probably not a big PR bent to either.
Well, if they were actually dating, they definitely signed NDAs for each other. NDAs are rampant all over the place. And parts of them will expire and parts of them continue on even after the other parts expire. So some parts are forever, some parts are only temporary.
Do you think any of these NDAs is why perhaps some of these people have not come out of the closet yet?
Oh yeah, it's a legal minefield.
Right.
It's absolutely a legal minefield because you need NDAs for everything. You have a one-night stand, you have to sign an NDA. The person
who's sleeping with
has to sign an NDA. Yes. That's especially true if you're closeted, but even straight celebrities will have, if they have a one-night stand, the person they're sleeping with has to sign an NDA.
Huh.
Which just That's takes wild. All the magic right out of it.
I know, you're like... Imagine being a celeb and being like trying to get someone to come back to your place, and then it's just like, wait, real quick, wait, I do paperwork.
Right. Yeah, that's essentially what it is. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy. So they definitely had to sign NDAs, but there probably wasn't a huge PR bent to their relationship, though. With all these people being famous, there, you know, is a small PR aspect that comes along with it naturally. But right. That's PR isn't why they're doing this.
No, I mean, there is just going to be naturally be a little bit of a PR bump, especially if one of them's like uber famous. Mm-hmm. But back when, wasn't this when Diana was still on Glee that they were supposed to have been dating?
Yes.
So she would have had a lot more fame than she does now. She would have been a lot more famous in her own right too. Obviously not as big as Taylor, but she wouldn't have been an absolute nobody. But there would have been a slight PR bump, but nothing to write home about.
Right. Okay. Here's another question. Question for the next episode with Sean. When your ex was bearding, did you two talk about what she would have to do? Or was that something you didn't discuss because it was quote unquote part of the job?
Oh no, we talked about everything. But leaving things uncommunicated is always a bad idea. Which I don't think that's a word, but I just made it one. It's a bad idea. You have to talk to your partner about it. Because if, even though it's part of the job, if you're just blindsided with something, it can still hurt.
Right.
Kind of like, well, wait, what the hell? And yet, even though some things can pop up at the last minute and they don't have time to tell you beforehand, as long as like they come back and they tell you about it and you'll talk about it, it's okay. I mean, it still kind of sucks, but it's okay. But being blindsided with something is never okay. Even if it's fake.
Right. So there was pretty open communication about her PR, you know, dating men kind of deal.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know if our relationship ever would have survived even what it did without being able to communicate with each other. It really just wouldn't have worked.
So there's a follow-up to this question, or a second part of the question. It says, also, do beards usually sit down together for kind of a chemistry meeting to get to know each other for a bit? I'm guessing it can be pretty difficult selling a relationship when you've only met the person for 10 minutes prior to a pap walk.
Usually no, there's no chemistry read. It's either like that person just said, 10 minutes before a pap walk. So sometimes it's either like a pap walk, or if you need someone to be on like the red carpet with you or something like that, you meet them about 2 minutes before you're walking on the carpet together. So there's like nothing at all. If it's going to be a long-term relationship, then they already know who they want to pair together. So they put them together. And if there happens to be chemistry, well, that's just bonus. That's just extra. And if there happens to be chemistry, that relationship might get extended past its contract expiration.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that the people in these relationships are really talented. Some of them are mm-hmm. actually actors or actresses. So mm-hmm. they can probably sell, and also performers in general. So a singer can go on stage and sell, you know, something like these people are all actors of some type. So I think they can probably sell these relationships as much as they need to. Although a lot of people say Taylor has no chemistry with all her, what are supposed to be her boyfriends. I don't really pay that close attention to it because.
Well, I mean, if you're gay and forced to be, and even if it's just a bearding relationship in the public eye with somebody of the opposite gender, mm-hmm. you're not going to have deep chemistry with them. That's just exactly. not going to be a thing that happens.
I never pay that close attention. People will analyze her pap pics and like look and see like, oh, she's not smiling here, but then she smiles, you know, and I'm just sort of like, well, it's just pap pics. It's just, mm-hmm. it's a split second. Like people try to prove or disprove her relationships based on how they appear in like 2 seconds of footage or like a single photograph. And to me, you can't read into it that much anyway. Like I don't really care if her boyfriends, if any of them are real or not. What I'm more interested in is she's probably, I'm almost certain she's been in queer relationships, and those are the relationships I'm interested in exploring. Because she could be bi, she could be pan, she could be fluid. I go back and forth on that. And in the end, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the idea that she's not straight. Right?
Right.
I will say most Gaylers tend to think that Taylor does not exude chemistry with her boyfriends. And I appreciate that viewpoint. That viewpoint's not that important to me because you can only make so many judgments based off a single photograph. To me, that's just me.
That so if she's like kind of usually planned. Like it right. may look spontaneous and all this, but no, you know that you're walking in to paparazzi and they're going to be around while you walk around and do things.
That's so interesting to me because Diana gets papped in New York City a good bit and she's such a nobody these days. And Diana, look, we love you. You know, come on the podcast, Diana. We love you. But like she really is. Are these really like complete C-listers still calling up paps and getting papped together? Like she would be with Winston a lot. And of course he's in a band and she's a small time actress and she used to be a bigger actress. So like, I can see there being like value to photos of them or whatever, but like, it's still so weird to me to think about, of course, y'all know I'm naive about the PR game. I'm like, yeah, who would manipulate the general public? Surely not Hollywood. But
well, in those cases, sometimes it could be the team setting up a catwalk, so they'll pay the paparazzi to come and take the pictures.
And that is so odd to me.
Because the more pictures are out there, especially the more pap pictures are out there, it makes them seem more popular and boosts their own reputation.
I will say we did not get Diana candids for like 6 months, and then her divorce was announced, and then we got her running around New York City like 3 times, all in a week or two.
Well, that would probably be because of the divorce. Even if it's a painful time for her, the team's still going to capitalize on that news with her, her name being at least in some people's forefront.
They want her to look like happy and single and carefree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that too.
So she's like out in her mask in New York City, like going to a bookshop and stuff. Like, but that is wild to me that even somebody whose career is like kind of as fade, just small these days, would still get papped as like part of a PR strategy. But of course, you've got to have a strategy no matter how small time you are, right?
Yeah, especially if you want to be bigger or if she wants to like make a comeback, whether it's with movies or with television, whatever she wants, you have to boost your reputation.
Right.
It's not just about talent. That's the sad part.
So more questions. And we kind of covered this already, but for Sean, how did you and your ex meet? I don't mean details, though feel free to share if you're comfortable. Like, did you know each other before she got famous? Or were you a fan and met her somewhere or met her without knowing she was famous? So we kind of covered that. You met her after she was famous in like a kind of a public space, randomly, didn't recognize her, had chemistry, hit it off. She asked you out and then you kind of realized who she was?
Yeah, because she thought I knew who she was and... Like, she was operating on this the whole time that I already knew who she was, and I had no clue. Like, I knew of her. So, like, I had, like, maybe one or two songs, you know, in a playlist somewhere. So, I knew of her. I just didn't realize that it was her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That is just the best meet cute I've ever heard of. I'm sorry. Like, and I love that story. Okay. Another question. Question for Sean. Does it ever bother / weird out celebrities that their fans write RPFs, which is real person fan fiction or real person fiction? Or do the celebrities just not care? In case the question isn't clear, my intention with this question is to get her take on the ethics of RPFs as it's something I've been considering recently. I'd also love to hear your take on it, Cam. Oh, well, you guys know I'll share my take. But Sean, real person fiction. That's where people are like on AO3 or fanfic.net or wherever writing out like stories about what they think these celebs might be doing. Is it ethical?
It's a bit of an ethical gray area. Most of them don't care because they don't go in to read them. But I mean, obviously just imagine if it was you and you had somebody, you know, writing fanfiction about your own life, not like a character you were playing if you're an actor, an actress, but like you being an actual person. It's a little weird, but they don't really go into it or even know about it because they don't even look it up. So if it's kept in like a private space, you can't stop people from doing what they're going to do as long as you don't shove it in their face. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about all of this, right? We don't need to be shoving our shipper, you know, shipper ideas or even our speculation, like, or any of the fandom space should be kept in fandom space. Celebs can go find it if they want. They know the hashtags to look up. They know the websites to go to. We do not need to be tweeting it to them or commenting on their Instagram or taking it to festivals and like asking them to autograph your real person fic or any of that. So
yeah, that's weird.
To me, it's about, it's not about exactly it. I mean, part of it is about what you do. Obviously there's still things too many, you know, there's still things that go beyond the bounds of like what's, I think, appropriate, but that's more just like a general sort of being a decent human kind of thing. Like if you're writing that celebs are like murdering people or like, that's just gross. I mean, whatever, but it's not so much about what you do. It's about where you do it. And I think you can say, you know, if you're texting your friends, say whatever you want about a celebrity, they're never going to see it. Gossip, right. You know, I mean, of course, I think we all have our own sort of moral compasses we go off of sort of what kind of language or communication we're putting out into the world. But if you're in a private space, say whatever you want, if you ask me. I mean, these celebs, this is kind of part of the deal. They kind of sign up for this and they're well compensated for, you know, people talking about them. So if you keep it out of your, you know, their Twitter feeds and you keep it out of their Instagram comments and you keep it out of their emails, and I think it's fine. I personally don't see a problem with it because it's not really any different than historical fiction or unauthorized biographies. And in fact, if you're writing it as a fan, like I read a book once that this person took all this time to spell out how Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain. And first of all, they had me convinced. But second of all, like that's really scandalous and salacious and a horrible thing to write about someone, even though they had a lot of evidence. Like I believe them. But nobody cares about that. Nobody's saying, oh, that real person fiction, because that's what it is in the end. Like, I mean, it was a journalistic endeavor, but I think it could be compared to real person fiction because it's not an authorized biography, right? So at least fans are just saying, like, generally writing, like, nice things about their faves.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I think the big difference with historical fiction in this is that, like, the people in historical fiction are dead.
Of course. Of
and,
course.
And not just dead, they're, like, really long dead.
Long dead.
You know, so it just kind of becomes a stories that take on lives of their own, you know, with a little ring of truth to them, where it's a little weird when the person's still alive and very much mm-hmm. active. But as long as the celebrity never finds out about it, you're fine. I mean, how would you feel reading fan fiction about yourself?
I would feel...
Especially,
I would feel a bit weird.
A bit weird. Some of it might be comical to you, but you might feel a bit weird. And it's basically reading a character that has your name on it is essentially what it is.
Right. I think gray area is kind of a good way to put it. I think I would say put a disclaimer on the fanfic, say this is fiction. This, you know, I would just, put a disclaimer and say this is 100% fiction. I don't have any ownership over the image of this person, just a big fan, and keep it in fandom spaces. And I think you're fine. You know, as long as you know that it's like nothing that needs to be like tweeted out to the celeb or any of that. Right.
Yeah. Just don't put it in their face or in their circle and you're fine. Keep it with the fans.
Exactly. Fandom stuff belongs in fandom spaces. And to me, that's real person fiction, shipping, even the speculation on their sexuality, even with somebody as loud as Taylor, like I still think like, don't tweet at her and be like, come out queen. Don't do it. We can't know what she's looking for. Maybe she likes that. I don't think so. I think be cautious about it. So keep the fandom nonsense in fandom spaces. Okay. Here's a question. If you do another ep with Sean, could you please ask her about career beards, like non-famous people who have no other job besides being a beard? So career beards. Are there people out there who are maybe their only job is to be some celebrity's beard?
There's usually something else going on. Like they have something else going on. That used to be a really big thing, especially during the golden age of Hollywood, and up until like the 70s, you had people where that was their only thing, because it was only you only needed somebody on your arm for, you know, when you were going out in public, but like specific public events, you know, like red carpet events and things like that, or for like a quick path walk that was going to be in a magazine that went out. They don't really do that anymore, but they, where that person's sole job is just to be a beard. That's not really a thing anymore. What it usually is it's going to be like D and C list models that they'll usually call up, and they'll have them come out and be a beard for this person. And they get paid for that, obviously. And it boosts their reputation a little bit. So obviously they want to do it. But there's not just a thing where your only job is to be a beard. They're usually also like a model or something else that they do. And then to boost their own reputation, so to boost their own ranking, they'll go and do that along with making some money on the side as well.
We were kind of touching on this offline, but it does seem like the model industry and the fashion industry has turned into sort of this dark meat market where bearding is like a really good gig for a model to get, because if she doesn't, she might have to get into yachting.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants. And that's basically,
oh, it's not just models. It's singers and actors too, who haven't made it yet and are trying to.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, I mean, yachting,
it's everybody.
Is, do we want to define that for the listener?
I mean, we can. It's just incredibly, what it's supposed to be is you have extremely rich people, usually men, and I mean extremely rich, like people who would give Bill Gates a loan rich.
Mm.
These people usually will just pay pretty women to come and be on their yacht with a bunch of other men and to take pictures and things like that. That's all it's supposed to be. Now, you and I both know that that's not all that happens on those boats.
Right.
Whether the person signed up for that or not is also just depending on the person. Now, some of the talent that goes out there to be on the boats, they do it because it's also somewhat networking, not just for jobs, but also for husbands, that they're husband hunting somewhat too, which I personally find a little weird, but hey, more power to you.
I mean, I'm not going to judge any woman in that situation, honestly.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, but you're basically on a yacht. I mean, you're with other girls, but you're all in the same situation. You're on a yacht in the middle of the ocean or the Gulf or wherever they're doing this. You're in the middle of a body of water.
And it's, I mean, it's basically like a sex working scenario, right?
Essentially, yeah, essentially. And you're in the middle of just with a bunch of entitled rich men. And we all know that they're just the best people to be alone with all the time.
Right. So it's, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what happens when this, you know, exorbitant wealth comes into play, that disgusting things happen. I mean, these people have appetites for women
and get
drugs and everything horrible. And they,
and these women get paid for it.
Right.
These women get paid for it. So if you need money until like the next gig, that's a really good way to make money. Because even if you're low listing, you're still looking at a couple of thousand for a week. You know, $5,000 to $10,000 for a week's worth of work is still not bad. Especially if you don't really have your own name yet. A and B listers also will yacht as well, but they have the protection of their own name to go with them. So nothing bad usually happens to them. I use that term.
So you're
usually
saying they're like A-list actresses? Sorry. You're saying there's actually A-listers out there doing this too?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God,
because
yeah.
That's how rich these men are, that they can afford an A-list actress on their arm and for some company.
Yeah, imagine paying like $90,000 to $100,000 for an A-lister to come stay on your yacht for a couple of days.
I can't imagine that, but you know, that's just me. But I don't have billions of dollars.
And they're usually protected by their name. So nothing bad will usually happen to them. And it's usually just that one person who pays them to come out on their yacht. So it's basically just a vacation that you get paid an exorbitant amount for. Like I said, imagine getting paid almost $100,000 to go on vacation.
I mean, and I'm kind of like bringing this into the conversation, first of all, because I want my listeners to be informed on anything that's sort of, you know, this sort of industry behind the scenes stuff, but also just to show you guys like how disgusting this industry really is. I mean, obviously if it's just for a photo op, that's fine and innocent, but this sounds like this is not a photo op situation.
No, not especially not for these C and D list models or actresses or singers who haven't made it yet, who get roped into this. Yeah, there you can find way more information on it, because, and honestly, it's disgusting.
Right. But just like people who are like, well, Taylor would just come out if she were gay. Like, no, this industry is evil and dark and does all sorts of disgusting things besides closeting people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, the closeting stuff is some of the more, from our discussions, the closeting stuff is horrible. Of course, I don't want to make light of that, and I'm not making light of that. But the closeting stuff compared to some of the other things that go on behind the scenes around how talent is treated and how people are treated.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, at least, you know, the closeting stuff is just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. So models would much rather be paid to go and be somebody's beard for a little bit than have to go and resort to that, because it's a lot safer. I mean, obviously there's still always a chance that something could happen. Every woman knows this.
Mm-hmm.
But that chance is far more diminished if you just have to be packed with somebody for a little bit.
Right.
Then if you're stuck on a yacht with a bunch of rich men.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's no bounds to the deviancy of this industry, I think, is what I'm kind of learning from you. And I think we're all kind of learning that from you. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no bounds.
And I think we're going to leave it there. We recorded for a super long time. So the episode was either going to be really, really, really long and take a really long time to get out to you guys, or I could cut it off and we'll get another Sean episode coming down the road and we'll get this one out sooner. So hope you guys all enjoyed. You know, sorry we ended on kind of a dark note. The next Sean episode will end on a lighter note, because she breaks down William Bowery and the legalities behind crediting someone in music the way William Bowery was credited, and why it's probably not Taylor, which is really interesting to me, because it kind of feels like maybe it is Taylor, but Sean has some reasons to believe that it's not. And it's definitely probably not Joe either. So that's nice to hear from a Gaylor perspective. But thank you guys all for listening so much. Of course, you can follow me at Twitter at ClownaryPod. If you're really, really loving this content and you want some bonus material, or just to support the podcast and the community and the blog, you can subscribe to me for a single dollar on Patreon. Just throw me a dollar a month. That would be so greatly appreciated. Of course, comment, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. And you can follow me on Tumblr at SwiftGroundGetMarried. Yeah, I think that's it. So everybody, stay safe in 2020, and SwiftGroundGetMarried in 2022. Let's manifest.